Blog Talk Radio.
Tuning in another blog talk radio this evening. Our brother John, along with Dr. Suzanne.
Hello, good evening.
Hello, good evening. How are you?
Good to hear you.
Good. Good to hear you. Good to hear your voice. Well, we are discussing human value this evening. We talked about human value maybe about a month or so ago, and we never finished it, so we're going to go back and review that, and we hope that it is a blessing to you. Our scripture for human value comes from John 10:10, and it says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." John 10:10. Can we have prayer real quick before we get, can we have prayer before we get started? Father God, we thank you for this day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we thank you for life, and we thank you for life more abundantly. We ask, Heavenly Father, Lord, that as we go through this scripture or discuss the scriptures, Heavenly Father, that you would unveil the mystery to our minds and that you would apply it to our hearts. Father, we pray for the sick and afflicted. We pray, Heavenly Father, for those who have lost loved ones. Lord, Father, we pray, Heavenly Father, for those, Heavenly Father, who are struggling with finances at this time. Lord, Father, we pray for increase of faith, Heavenly Father, at this time. And Lord, Father, we ask, Heavenly Father, that these words that we speak, Heavenly Father, would just manifest, Heavenly Father, within our spirit, Heavenly Father, that we might walk by faith and not by sight. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Okay, we are discussing human value. I think we're going to just go ahead and start from the beginning and try to get through all these scriptures. However, there are a lot of scriptures. For those of you that's tuning in through internet, if you would like to call in, the call number is 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. And if you would like to participate, you would have to push 1 in order that we might be able to hear you. And we would love to hear from you. We'd love to hear from you. So we invite you to do so as we go through the scriptures. If there's anything that's striking, anything that you want to share with our listeners, we do invite you to be a part of that. We do, again, thank you for being a part of New Beginning Ministries as we have this Bible study this evening every Wednesday from 7 o'clock. To 8:30. The first scripture we're going through is Genesis 1:26 through 28. Genesis 1:26 through 28. And we're going to give you an opportunity to locate it.
Genesis 1:26. The 28 reads, "Then God said, let us make a man, someone like ourselves, to be the master of all life upon the earth and in the skies and in the seas. So God made man like his maker. Like God did God make man. Man and maid did he make them. And God blessed them and told them, multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. You are master of the fish and birds and all the animals."
Amen. Amen. And with the scripture, the beautiful thing about it is when it says, "Let us make man in our image." And at that, you know, when I look at that, Sister Suzanne, we look at how God had impressed on our minds how extraordinary it was, just the idea that he's forming a man after his own self. Let us make man. It's evident that, you know, God intends to impress on our mind that man, the point of a man and a sense of something extraordinary when we look at the formation of his body. What do you think?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We're all knitted together in God's image.
Amen. Yeah. Isn't that a blessing?
One thing I want to say, in your first verse, it says, let us make a man. And that goes to the Trinity. The us is the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, or Holy Spirit. And so that leads us to believe that the Trinity was in place, that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit existed. Those that, you know, question the Trinity. Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen. I know that you're coming in, and you sound as though, you know, that you are breaking up here and there. So we're going to try to listen as careful as possible, and anyone else who would like to call in, please do so. We invite you to participate in this Bible study this evening. Our next scripture we look at is
We have someone from area code 216 that maybe they'd like to join us. They just tuned in and pressed 1.
Mm-hmm.
Are you there, listener?
Yes, are you there?
Yes.
Yes, I'm Dave Dickey in Cleveland. I just got on.
Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, my brother. It's always good to hear your voice.
Same here. I couldn't make it last week, but I didn't forget you.
Praise the Lord. We're going to have a wonderful time in the Lord, and thank you for being a part of this Bible study this evening. We do. And we, if you just got on, we're talking about human value. That is our topic this evening. And as we go through the scripture, we're just discussing the scriptures. And please, share when you get the opportunity. You've been with us numerous times, and you always have blessed us with, you know, what the Lord has placed on your heart. So we do welcome you.
Thank you.
Okay. We are right now we are looking at Psalm 8, 4-8. Hearing some background in the back. I don't know where that's coming from. If it's one of our listeners that's not sharing, but we can hear the background. The microphones are very sensitive, and it picks up everything through the mic.
Psalm 8. What verse did you say?
Psalm 8. 4-8.
Psalm 8, 4-8 reads, I cannot understand how you can bother with mere puny man to pay any attention to him, and yet you have made him only a little lower than the angels and placed a crown of glory and honor upon his head. You have put him in charge of everything you made. Everything is put under his authority, all sheep and oxen and wild animals too. The birds and the fish and all the life in the sea. O Jehovah, O Lord, the majesty and glory of your name fills the earth.
Amen. When we look at this, and it says, what is man? The son of man, you know, that you would visit. For you have made him a little lower than the angels, a little lower than the angels, and have crowned him with glory and honor. And we look at that in terms of how God has blessed us in crowning us with glory and honor. Isn't it a blessing just to know who we are? And imagine, you know, we have so many that are walking around and don't realize who they are in Christ. Who they are in Christ, you know, and this scripture just speaks to me as being that we are, as a believer in Christ, that we are powerful in the Spirit. We are powerful in the Spirit. The opportunity to be able to pray and to be able to make things happen just through prayer. And here it is, we walk around, at times, and we wonder, you know, how we're going to make it, how things are going to happen. And I'm speaking to you out there who's listening, with finances or whatever case that you're going through, that God has a plan in each and every one of our lives, and He wants us to be able to know who we are, to be able to speak life. We don't think anything negative in our lives. We don't think anything below that what we are. We are, it says, I've come. Even in John 10, it says, I have come that they may have life and may have it to the full. And that's speaking to us, that we may have life and have it to the full. And that's a blessing within itself. When you look at full, that means the whole. So why do we walk around worrying about situations? Why do we worry about earthly materials? Why do we worry about this? When God has already said that we are supposed to have it to the full.
And that having it to its fullest, life in its fullest, doesn't mean waiting. It doesn't mean just in heaven. He wants us on this side of heaven to enjoy our lives. That your life is a blessing. He wants us to live our lives to the fullest of the experience of being alive and all that the Lord has all around us, the beauty of His creation that's all around us, and us, and then we as His creation also, as being life in its fullest, life in abundantly, in abundance, life beautifully, life without dread, life without depression, life without hindrance. He wants us to live it and enjoy it. We only have one life, live it. But living it does not mean, you know, like the enemy would have you to think that it would mean a sinful life, that's living a good life. But that's not what the Lord is saying. The Lord is saying, live life in its fullest in Him. Do you mind if we go back to the psalm that we just read? Because there was something that I was thinking maybe we could go back through. Do you mind?
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm going to read it one more time. It says, when I look into the night skies, I'm starting with verse 3. When I look into the night skies and see the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you have made, I cannot understand how you can bother with mere puny man to pay any attention to him. That verse that is like saying that we in our foolishness, so many of us are not worshiping God, or it takes a long time for us to come into the knowledge of Jesus Christ and to live our lives to the fullest, like you were saying, that how can we look at the stars and doubt that there is God? But this also speaks to the Lord loving us, that He has not been, that His mercy, that He's so merciful and gracious with us, that He loves us so much that He has given us that time to come about. But yet He still, every night the stars are there, every night the moon is there, every day, you know, the sun is up, sky is up, and He wakes us up and He allows us to enjoy His creation. And in the next part, in 5, it says, and yet you have made Him only a little lower than the angels. I can imagine the angels, like, being puzzled. Like, they worship God, you know, Cherubim and Seraphim, the angels are worshiping God 24-7, continuously worshiping God and serving the Lord, praising Him. And here we are, His creation also, just a little bit lower than the angels. And most of us are not doing that, or we make God a Sunday obligation, or a sometime obligation, or a crisis obligation, that we go to Him instead of allowing the Lord to be in every single part of our day with everything we do and everything we say. So So I know that the angels, I'm sure the angels are puzzled, like, how can the Lord be so merciful with us, just puny man, that aren't doing what we're supposed to be doing. And still, the Lord has given the angels, it says, like the song says, he will give his angels charge over thee because Jehovah God cares for me, that I can call on my angels, my guardian angel, the warring angel, to be there for me. And the Lord puts them there. I just call them, and they're there to fight for me. It's just awesome. I'm glad you chose this verse, this part of Scripture, because it's just so awesome. It says, and yet you have made him only a little lower than the angels and placed a crown of glory and honor upon his head, that even though we're so broken and so not worthy, the Lord still, with his grace, gives us honor, and we should honor him. That goes back to one of our other talks on honor. Yeah, you have put him in charge of everything you made. Everything is put under his authority. All sheep and oxen, all wild animals, to the birds and the fish, and all life in the sea. O Jehovah, our Lord, the majesty and glory of your name fills the earth.
Amen.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. My brother, do you have anything you want to share on that scripture? Okay. Yeah, the beautiful thing is, you know, and also, you know, as you speak of that, you know, so beautifully, you know, I look at that in terms of when it starts talking about, you know, that also, you know, and even looking at skill, you know, not just, you know, I mean, we know that he has the power, but, you know, when I see this also, it also looks in terms of it's talking about the skill, just the skill to be able to design all of this. To be able to design all the earth, the heaven, and the stars, and everything that we see when we're walking around, just the skill to be able to design that. There's beauty in that. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow. We move on to the scripture, as we move on to the next scripture, Genesis 3:17. Hallelujah.
Genesis 3:17 reads, and to Adam God said, because you listened to your wife and ate the fruit when I told you not to, I have placed a curse upon the soil. All your life you will struggle to extract a living from it.
Just for being, you know, I see this, I look at it in terms of disobedience.
But, you know what, under our topic for the evening, human value, if we go back and read this, because this is when, after Adam and Eve had sinned in the garden and they hid themselves because they realized their nakedness and then they were ashamed. And, of course, those were things that had not been experienced in the garden before because there was no sin. So when the enemy tempted them, temptation came into our lives, fear came into our lives, hiding, blame came in. Adam blamed Eve for the temptation and doing something wrong. And blame God and said, well, you gave her to me, you know, that type of thing. Not being responsible, being irresponsible, that came into play. shame came into place. I don't know if I said that in guilt. But if you notice that if we read this, like the entire Genesis 3, which I'm not going to read to us, you know, over the air right now, but Eve says that the serpent tricked her, and she, remember, she wanted to share, and it's natural for a wife to go to her husband and share with her husband, but the Lord held Adam accountable for that because Adam was the male and the head of the household. So he should have been, in other words, to Eve. But in this section where you just talked, it talks to the punishment for disobedience, the result of disobedience. And the Lord passed down the punishment in order of the guilt. So first he gave the serpent, first with the serpent, he took the legs off the serpent and said the serpent would slither around on the ground and he would grovel in the dust as long as he lived, crawling along on his belly. And that from now on you and the woman will be enemies, and will your offspring and hers, that you will strike his heel, that the offspring will strike his heel and crush his head. And so that's symbolic not only of actual human beings that, you know, killing the snake, but it's also symbolic about with us as born again believers using the word and being forceful and coming against the enemy, that we will crush him with the word, with our knowledge of Jesus Christ, with the sword, with the word. And then the second person that he talked to, he said to the woman that she would also welcome affection to her husband, but that she would endure intense pain during childbirth. So her punishment was pain in childbirth, but yet and still, even though childbirth was painful, she still would have a desire for her husband. And then the third one was Adam having to extract a living from the ground. And even in this, God was still merciful because he loved us. He still saw value in human beings and allowed us to live. There were consequences to the sin. There were results of disobedience, but he still allowed them to live. And in his loving kindness, he covered them, and he made the first covenant with them by killing an animal and permitting them to be covered with the animal skin to cover themselves so that their nakedness would not be revealed. So that was love. And then here we see again down further that the Trinity was present as they were turned away, and they were not allowed to to the tree of life. That they were not allowed to the tree of life. So the Trinity was there also. It says that now that the man has become as we are, knowing good from bad, what if he eats the fruit of the tree of life and lives forever? So the Lord banished him forever from the Garden of Eden and sent him out to farm the ground from which he had been taken. So here we have the Lord still, even though they were disobedient, even though death should have been their death was their the penalty. What died was the animal that was sacrificed, and what died was their innocence.
Mm-hmm. Amen. 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 And you mentioned the word disobedience. Disobedience, and that's basically what it was. It was disobedience. It was really disobedience. Eve gave the apple. All she did was, she didn't deceive him, all she did was ask him to eat of the apple. And he did that, and that was disobedience. That was disobedience. see in the background, or feeling in the background, whoever it is, one of the listeners, we can hear everything. There's a squealing or squeaking in the background that's coming through the mic. You're just muted at that time. Okay, we're going to move on to Genesis 9, 5, and 6. Genesis 9, 5, and 6.
Genesis 9, 5, and 6 reads, "And murder is forbidden. Man killing animals must die, and any man who murders shall be killed. For to kill a man is to kill one made like God."
Amen. Amen. So that's talking about, speaking about killing someone who is made like God. And man, if we look at man, we look at the beginning where the scripture is saying, man made in the image of God. And so when we are looking, when you're looking at it's killing another man, you're killing someone who is made in the image of God. And what God is saying is that that there's a sin right there when we begin to try to destroy something that He created. Trying to destroy something that He created. Again, listeners, anyone that would like to tune in or make a comment on that, the call number is 347-237-4054. Just push one, and you can participate, and we'll be able to hear what you are saying.
Now, this is the verse that people use for capital punishment, that any man killing animal, that means the animal, like if an animal kills a human being, you must kill that animal, because they say, and, farmers would say this too, that once they taste human blood, they will crave human blood. So any animal that that kills a human being must be put to death. And so they're saying, and this it also says that for to kill a man is to kill one made like God. So for people even to kill a man, kill someone else. It says, "And any man who murders shall be killed." And at that time, during these times, they would stone people. That the whole community would come and stone people for putting someone to death. So the Lord looks very. Blood is so important. Human blood is so important.
Amen. Amen.
So important, bloodshed. And so the Lord wants us to know the importance of human value, because life is in the blood.
Amen.
Life is in the blood.
Amen. So true. And that's right back with the topic. We're talking about human value. Valuing another human being. Valuing another person. Valuing someone who was made in the image of God. Value. That is so important. Let's move on. We do have a lot of scriptures, and we're going to go through it. For anyone, again, if you would like to participate, or if there's something that you would like to share at this time, please do so. We are Acts 17:26.
Acts 17:26. reads, and I want to just say this too. I'm reading from the Living Bible. He created all the people of the world from one man, Adam, and scattered the nations across the face of the earth. He decided beforehand which should rise and fall and win. He determined their boundaries.
Could you read that again?
He created all the people of the world from one man, Adam, and scattered the nations across the face of the earth. He decided beforehand which should rise and fall and win. He determined their boundaries.
Can I look at that,
though? In the Living Bible version, Adam was implied. Adam was implied. But I can read it from the King James Version if you'd like.
Go ahead.
Okay. And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the time before appointed and the boundaries of their habitation.
Mm-hmm. And I think the key piece there is when he says one blood. When it says one blood, that represents one race.
Mm-hmm.
One kindred. When you say one blood, you're talking about not two, but one. Now we're right back in terms of made in the image of God. And now here in Acts is talking about made of one blood, all nations of men, to dwell on the face of the earth. I think that's a powerful piece right here.
You know what, it is a powerful statement, and when you give thought to, you know, with anthropologists and scientists discovering that all mankind has African origins, and so when we go back, we can go back in our, what is it, our mitochondrial DNA will take us all back to Africa and to that sub-Saharan area. So it makes this verse come alive as far as being one blood, because we do have common properties in our blood, all of us, all of mankind. That's what they're
mm-hmm.
telling us.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Right. Yeah, when we're looking at, all made from one. All made from one. So when we are looking at destroying or killing another person, that we're all connected one way or another. We're all connected one way or another. Praise the Lord. And, you know, and I look at this, even from the King James, which is, it says, and made from of one blood all nations of men to dwell on all the face of the earth. Let me say it again. Made of one blood, all nations of men. All nations of men to dwell on all the face of the earth. And then it goes on to say, and has determined the times before. He's already determined the times before and appointed everyone boundaries of where they live, their
mm-hmm.
habitation.
Mm-hmm.
That means that on all the face of the earth, there are boundaries. But yet, all has been made of one blood. I think that is a powerful, powerful piece when you look at it.
Amen.
Any comments from you there? Anyone like to comment on that? Anyone like to comment? We have if you want to call in, it's the call-in number is 347-237-4054. Push 1, and and we will be able to connect you. Okay, we are, for those of you that just tuned in, we are talking about human value. We're talking about human value, and we're just going through the scriptures and just seeing what God has to say about human value. We just completed Acts 17:26, and now we're moving into 1 Corinthians 12:12.
First Corinthians 12:12 reads, "Our body has many parts, but the many parts make up only one body when they are all put together. So it is with the body of Christ."
Okay, here we are talking about one body again. But in that body, there are many members. There are many members. Could you read the down to 14, from 12 to 14, please?
Sure. "Our bodies have many parts, but the many parts make up only one body when they are all put together. So it is with the body of Christ. Each of us is a part of the one body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But the Holy Spirit has fitted us all together into one body. We have been baptized into Christ's body by the one Spirit and have all been given the same Holy Spirit. Yes, the body has many parts, not just one part. If the foot says, 'I am not a part of the body because I am not a hand,' that does not make it any less a part of the body."
Amen. Amen. And we're looking at in terms of the body is made of many parts. It's made of many parts, and that's almost like the arm wanting to be like the foot, because the arm feels that the foot is more important. But yet, what God is saying here is that all parts of the body of Christ are important. All parts of our body are important. Our arms are just as important as the foot. Every part on our body has a specific task. It has a specific task. And there is a specific office for each body within the Christ. Then we write back and we begin to start to look at how valuable and how useful, you know, it is. There is unity. I'm still hearing in the background there's a lot of noises. Yeah, a lot of noises tonight. I don't know where that's coming from. But we're hearing everything that's coming through on my end, these speakers. Turning pages or something. I don't know what it is. And here is, again, we're talking about unity. But yet, every part of the body is so diverse. Every part of the body is so diverse. Each part of the body is different, but yet each part of the body is important. Amen. Amen. I know how it is with me that I'm okay, but let me go out and sprain my ankle. Or I have a loss of my arm for some time because it's bruised and I cannot use it. It's almost like everything is just upset. My whole world has been upset because there's one part of my body that I cannot use. And it's hard for me to function. And I don't know about you. I don't know about you, listeners. Is there any time that you have had a problem and it just seems like everything is affected. And that's what God is saying, that that every part of our body is important, the same as the body of Christ. That person that we may see, that we may look at and we may judge, but that person is just as important in the body of Christ as we are. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Any comments?
No comment. That was right on time.
Amen. 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 Okay, we're moving on through the scriptures, and we are at John 13:34.
John 13:34 reads, "And so I am giving a new commandment to you now. Love each other just as much as I love you."
And here we're talking about how we're supposed to respond to one another. The Lord is talking about how we are to respond to one another. Think about the mercy that God has given us daily when we make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And no one is perfect. No one is perfect. But yet God still loves us the same. He does not put any, there's no barriers or any restraints on us. He still loves us. And even for those who have fallen or backslidden or whatever has happened in your life, God still loves you. And it's almost like a father with open arms just waiting for you to return. Waiting for you to return. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Any comments? Is that almost like a that's almost like what he told the disciples. What do you think, Sister Suzanne?
It's love. That's the story. That's the key. That it's all about love. That's the commandment. We're supposed to love one another. We're supposed to take care of one another. When we talked about a couple weeks ago, am I my brother's keeper? Yes. Yes, we are our brother's keepers. We're supposed to take care of one another the way, and just as the Lord takes care of us, and he places us in community together, places us in position to take care of one another and to be taken care of.
Amen. Amen. You know, and even I the more I just continue to look at the scripture, you know, and it's also talking about character. I look at character in terms of how we are to be known amongst others. We're to be known as friends. We're to be known as friends and followers of Christ. Friends and followers of Christ. So that when anyone looks at us, they can distinguish us by our character.
Yeah.
Wow. What a blessing. What a blessing. And that's what I love about the Bible. It's almost like a guideline of how we are to conduct our lives with one another. Love one another as I have loved you. Also, love one another. That same love that Christ gives us, we are to exemplify that same love one to another. And that goes with, and that includes someone that may mistreat you. someone that may have done something to you at one time or another, and we're carrying it around. We are carrying it around. And God is saying, let it go. Show love. Love them the same way that I love you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Any comments from you listeners? Any comments? Any comments? Okay. Moving on with scripture, we are at Matthew 25, 37 through 40. Matthew 25, 37 through 40.
Then these righteous ones will reply, Sir, when do we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirst and give you anything to drink, or a stranger and help you, or naked and clothe you? When do we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? And I, the king, will tell them, when you did it to these, my brothers, you were doing it to me. Then I will turn to those on my left and say, away with you, you cursed one, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his demons. For I was hungry, and you wouldn't feed me, thirsty, and you wouldn't give me anything to drink, a stranger, and you refused me hospitality, naked, and you wouldn't clothe me, sick and in prison, and you didn't visit me. Then they will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and not help you? And I will answer, when you refuse to help the least of these, my brothers, you will refuse to help me. And they shall go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into everlasting life.
Wow. You look at that scripture. I see in that scripture almost like, I think we talked about guilt before. Questioning your feelings about how you're responding. It's almost as they're questioning at that time, asking themselves, have they done all that they were supposed to do as a follower? Were they being the disciple that Christ wanted them to be? So that's like questioning, you know, am I doing right? Is there something that I've done wrong? Were you questioning yourself, almost like a feeling that you may have, you're asking. And Jesus says that whatever you did to others, you've done to me. How you treated others was the same way that you treated me. On the flip side, how you loved one another is how you loved me. There's beauty in that scripture.
Mm-hmm.
How we respond to one another is the same way that we have treated Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So anytime that we are looking at, our actions, as a Christian, all we need to do is look around and determine what our character is like amongst those that we come in contact with.
Mm-hmm.
How we love them, how we help them. And there is, and that's what there, that's what that is. That's the question there. That's the question there. Any comments? Any comments? We have a quiet audience tonight. We are truly thankful that you are tuning in even by internet. It seems like we have more participants through the internet, and the numbers are overwhelming every time I look at it, at the numbers. But through internet, so many go through the archive later on, or some participate during the time that we are going through our Bible study. But we do thank you for tuning in each and every week. And, you know, the numbers show that that we are not alone. We're not alone. And we just pray that we will continue to be a blessing to you. And that as we go through this Bible study, that we shed and share the light of Christ, the truth of Christ. Okay. Any comments? Okay, Dr. Suzanne, are there any comments on your end?
No comments.
Okay. So we might as well move. Let's go ahead and move on, then. We were at Matthew 25:37. Romans 12, 3 through 5. Romans 12, 3 through 5.
Romans 12, 3 to 5 reads, "As God's messenger, I give each of you God's warning. Be honest in your estimate of yourselves, measuring your value by how much faith God has given you."
Mm-hmm.
Just there are many parts. Did you want me to keep reading? I'm sorry.
Yeah, please. That's okay.
Okay. Just as there are many parts to our bodies, so it is with Christ's body. We are all parts of it, and it takes every one of us to make it complete, for we each have different work to do. So we belong to each other, and each needs all the others.
And when we look at that scripture, do you want to comment on it?
No.
Well, I look at that scripture, and that scripture is saying that how we respond when we're holding certain positions or we're feeling certain ways. You know, when I see that, I see pride. That's what stands out from that scripture, pride. Pride.
Mm-hmm.
And it's saying that we are not to judge ourselves. We're not to think of ourselves more highly than another person. We may have a talent that goes above and beyond, that we stand out among others. But just because we have that talent and we are gifted, this scripture is saying that we are not to think of ourselves more highly than someone who is not as talented as we are.
But
even
you know,
well.
Everybody has their own gifting and their own talent, so we're not supposed to compare ourselves to, like, my gifting is exhortation and teaching. I am not called to be a preacher. So some people I would be out of line if I were jealous of somebody because they're preaching, and to say, well, I can do that, but that's not what I'm called to. That's not what I'm called to. So everybody has their own gifting, and everyone can become excellent in their own gifting, you know, or talented in their own gifting. But sometimes people want to either be like one of the fivefold ministers, like the preacher, the teacher, evangelist, apostle, or prophet, and maybe they're not called to that. Maybe they're called to children's ministry. Maybe they're called to help, to serve, you know, to serve in the food pantry, to serve in the kitchen, you know, to sing in the choir, to be an usher, you know, to be a greeter at the door, to help make sure, I mean, who cleans the shovels of snow? Maybe that's what they're called to the helps as far as buildings and grounds are concerned. And I could, you know what I'm saying, and everybody's not, can't do those things. We all have a gifting. We all have something to offer in the body. So as far as talents are concerned, we all have talents. It's how
Amen.
We use it, if we use them.
Amen. Amen. And how we use them and how we think about our talents as well. How we think about our talents. You know, there may be someone who has a talent and they feel that because someone cannot, for example, play basketball just as good as they do, that they're better than them because of their ability to play basketball well. And here it's saying that we should have a certain standard in how we judge ourselves. As Christians, as believers, we should have a certain standard at how we judge ourselves. And we never think of ourselves any higher than another person. And I mean, let's just take it to the point where someone can have a particular talent one day and lose it the next. So we are always to have a certain standard as a believer. Whether if we are wealthy, we do not think that we do not think ourselves higher or above anyone else. If we hold a certain office, a position, it's the same. And it goes across the board. And the word is saying that we are to have, you know, I would call it a common standard amongst each other. We see each other as the same. And when we look back in terms of what we was reading before, the word was saying that made in his image. When it starts talking about the blood, that when we destroy one person, that we are destroying someone that was made in his image. Or even when we're looking at the things that we acquire in life. We may have a beautiful car, and someone may not have a nice car. The word is saying that we are not to think of ourselves as higher than that other person that may have that hoopty or whatever. There's a certain standard that we should carry as a Christian, as a believer. Any comments? Again, if you'd like to tune, you know, to call in, it's the call-in number is 347-237-4054. For those, again, if you're just tuning in, we are talking about human value, valuing another human being, human value, how we see other people, how we are to respond or act to another person, another human being, how we value that human being. Amen. Amen. Okay, moving on to scripture. Okay, we are at James 2:1-9. James 2:1-9.
James 2, 1 through 9 reads, Dear brothers, how can you claim that you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, if you show favoritism to rich people and look down on poor people? If a man comes into your church dressed in expensive clothes and with valuable gold rings on his fingers, and at the same moment another man comes in who is poor and dressed in threadbare clothes, and you make a lot of fuss over the rich man and give him the best seat in the house and say to the poor man, you can stand over there if you like, or else sit on the floor. Well, judging a man by his wealth shows that you are guided by wrong motives. Listen to me, dear brother. God has chosen poor people to be rich in faith, and the kingdom of heaven is theirs, for that is the gift God has promised to all those who love him. And yet, of the two strangers who have despised the poor man, don't you realize that it is usually the rich man who pick on you and drag you into court? And all too often, they are the ones who laugh at Jesus Christ, whose noble name you bear. Yes, it is good when you truly obey our Lord's command. You must love and help your neighbors just as much as you love and take care of yourself. But you are breaking this law of our Lord when you favor the rich man and fawn over them. It is a sin.
Amen. Scripture that I looked at that bear me more than anything else was James 4. Are you then partial in yourself and are become judges of evil thoughts? Judges of evil thoughts. Things that we have in our minds and how we look at another person because of the way they may be dressed.
Mm-hmm.
Or their financial situation. How we judge that person. Not by what we say. What God is saying is our thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Our thoughts. Thinking of them as being the worst. And God is outlined in here saying that the poor are rich in spirit. They may not have a lot of money. A person may not have a lot of money. Or they may not have the finest clothes, or they may not drive the finest of cars. But God is outlining here that that person is rich in spirit. And what I gather here, being rich in spirit is more valuable than all of the other three. Rich in spirit. So I guess a person could have fine clothes and not be rich in spirit.
Mm-hmm.
A person could be wealthy and not be rich in spirit. So that's, you know, that's the scripture that grabbed me more than anything else. And we're right back in terms of how we think of another person or how we are feeling that we are better than another human being.
Mm-hmm.
Any comments? Any comments?
No comments.
Man, God has us here on this earth to be a blessing to others, to bless others. And it don't always have to be a financial gift that we give someone. It might be how we treat another person. That person may be feeling the worst of the worst, and you may come with a good word or even a smile and could just change their world. That's the beauty of it. That's the beauty of it. How we govern our thoughts. How we govern our thoughts. How we look at our character, our Christian character. How we are looked at among others. Do we stand out as a Christian, as a believer in Jesus Christ? Do we stand out? Can another person distinguish us from those that don't believe in Jesus Christ? Or do not have, or not showing the same character as a Christian or a believer? And those are some things that I think that these scriptures are kind of asking us at this time.
John, can I make a comment?
Please do.
It brings back the particular verse in scripture. I'm not sure exactly what book or what verse, but it talks about man looking on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. And I think for us it speaks to just what you were saying, your wife, about, you know, don't get caught up in what a person has materially. It means nothing to God.
Amen.
It's what that person, what you had said before, character, what their character is all about. They could be in a three-piece suit, dressed very nice, but without character, it's all image and no substance.
Amen.
So.
Amen.
I hope that as a body of Christ, we're not, you know, fooled by that, but by what a person really is, how, no matter how they're dressed, no matter the education, no matter, you know, race, creed, color, and all of that, we are in the image and likeness of God, and we should love and cherish each other accordingly, because He does.
Yes, absolutely. And that, you know, when we look at this scripture, I was going to mention in terms of that scripture you were talking about from 1 Samuel, and it talks about God looking, you know, where we see, you know, man in one way and God, but God looks at our heart.
Right.
Our heart determines who we are. Who we are. And as we've been going through the scripture, I think it sets a challenge for us in terms of how we respond in our lives, our daily, our everyday lives. How do we respond in our everyday lives? And that's accountable to who we say that we are. We say that we love God. We say that we are a Christian, but it makes us accountable. It's almost like a rubric, you know. We look at this rubric and fall. Okay, where do we fall on this rubric? Amen. Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing that, my brother. Thank you for sharing that.
I'm happy to.
Our next scripture is at Luke 10:33.
Give me a few minutes to get there. 10:33 reads, but a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw him, he felt deep pity. Kneeling beside him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds and medicine and bandaged them. Can we go back? Can I go back a little bit further and look, so we can look at this scripture in context?
Sure.
Okay. Still talking about love, we have to remember as Christians, and Bible scholars were studying, those of us that are studying the Bible, that the Samaritans were people that the Jews would not associate with. So rather than go through, like go through their neighborhood, they would go around the neighborhood. So they had nothing to do with them. So this is why this is significant. So I'm going to start at verse 30, Luke 10, verse 30. Jesus replied with an illustration. A Jew going on a trip from Jerusalem to Jericho was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes and money and beat him up and left him lying half dead beside the road. By chance, a Jewish priest came along, and when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. A Jewish temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but then went on. But a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw him, he felt deep pity. Kneeling beside him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with medicine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his donkey and walked along beside him until they came to an inn, where he nursed him through the night. The next day, he handed the innkeeper two $20 bills and told him to take care of him. If the bill runs higher than that, he said, I'll pay the difference the next time I am here. Hmm. Now, which of these three would you say was a neighbor to the bandit victim?
Wow. And that's something else in terms of, again, how we think of another person. You know, because the Samaritan at that time were despised. They were looked at as it's almost like, you know, the priest and the Levite, you know, they looked at him as not even a worthy, and they didn't even take care of him as they thought. And here it is that Samaritan came by and had compassion on another person. But I think the key is looking at, there was three that walked past, and the other two, there were three that came in that direction, but there was one that chose to stop and have compassion. The other two did not. They left it there for dead. And when I start looking at that, start thinking about that, it's almost like in the life or in our walk in life, someone that is in need, you know, do we walk past them? Or do we offer assistance? Do we walk past them, or do we offer assistance? Do we have compassion?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Scriptures definitely speak to our human value. We are we're moving on to Matthew 27:32. Matthew 27:32. Matthew 27:32.
Matthew 27:22.
Yes. Matthew 27:32.
I'm sorry, I'm not hearing very well. As they were on the way to the execution ground, they came across a man from Cyrene in Africa. Simon was his name, and forced him to carry Jesus' cross.
This scripture looks like it's almost as though, I don't know, it doesn't really say exactly what, you know, what really took place, but almost, you know, when you kind of infer, it's, you know, at the time, maybe, you know, Jesus Christ was at the point where he couldn't carry the cross no more. You know, he was just suffering and just could not carry the cross anymore. And here mm-hmm. it is, this Cyrene chose to help him at that time.
Mm-hmm.
When we think about that, we look at that, you know, he was walking all the way. That was a place, they called it, that place was the place of the skull, the place of the skull. And, you know, or they, you know, walking to, you know, to Golgotha, which was, you know, the final destination. But he had all that time, you know, that he was walking, and, you know, and out of, it's almost, again, we're inferring, you know, maybe they, you know, asked him to help him because Jesus was low on strength and was unable to carry it. Or you can also infer he could have been a friend. He could have been a friend
mm-hmm.
and chose to help him. So, any comments? Any comments? Okay, moving on. 1 Peter 1:18, and looking at the time. 1 Peter 1:18, and then we have another, which is John 10:10. 1 Peter 1:18.
Peter 1:18 reads, God paid a ransom to save you from the impossible road to heaven which your fathers tried to take. And the ransom he paid was not mere gold or silver, as you very well know, but he paid for you with the precious life blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God.
So this is basically saying that we were not purchased, we cannot be redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. We were purchased by the blood of Christ. Hallelujah. We were purchased by the blood of Christ. And that is a reminder that silver and gold did not purchase us, that we was purchased by the blood of Christ, the death on the cross. Hallelujah. Okay, moving on to the last scripture, John 10:10. John 10:10.
John 10:10 reads, the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose is to give life in all its fullness.
Amen, amen, amen. And this is a spiritual warfare that we are going through, and as we, as believers of Christ, believers of Christ, as we go through this world, there is a thief that wants to kill and destroy the spirit of Christ within us. And God is saying that I have come not to kill, but to give. Not to destroy, but to give. And to give it more abundantly, that we might be able to live an abundant life in Christ. And that abundance means peace, joy, security, being a blessing, all those things that that is going to take us into glory. So that while we are living here, God has already given us a promise that we're going to live a peaceful life, that we're going to have joy, that we are going to be blessed the time that we're here. Those are abundance. Those are the abundance. You can almost ask a person who has all the money in the world but have no peace. Would he trade or she trade just to have peace? That's the beauty of Christ. Any comments? Okay, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We're looking at the time, and we're going to, the hour has come to the end, and we're going to close out in prayer. And for those of you that tuned in, we are here, New Beginnings Ministry, every Wednesday from 7 o'clock to 8:25, 8:28. We close out at 8:30. We do invite you to tune in again. We hope that we was a blessing to you. We hope that that whatever was said, that is something that you received, and that is our whole purpose through Bible study, so that we can be a blessing to others. So again, we do thank you for participating. Remember, we love you, but God loves you most. Father, we thank you for those that tuned in. We thank you for this time, for sharing together in unity and in one spirit. We pray, Heavenly Father, for all those of them that was listening, even those that was not able to participate at this time. We pray a blessing upon them, Heavenly Father. Lord, we pray increased finances. We pray, Heavenly Father, that the world would never be the same, that it's been changed as they come into the realization of who you are and all that you can do. Lord, Father, we come to say that we love you, but we thank you for loving us more. Bless the kids, Heavenly Father. Bless all those, Heavenly Father, that we speak life into them in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Again, we thank you. God bless you.
I face the dawn of each breath.